Our text is found in the chapter we read in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. We shall read again verse 13. Revelation chapter 14 at verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Amen. Can the dead be blessed? That is a question for today, when there are such varying views on man, what he is, and what will become of him when he dies. All have to acknowledge that man, sooner or later, dies. 80 years, perhaps a few years more, but then man dies. Some would say, in effect, that none are blessed after death, because they have imbibed the idea that when a person dies, that is the end, the absolute end of that individual's existence. And that has come in particularly with the modern heresy of evolution, that God is not the creator. Rather, living things have appeared in this world over a great length of time, billions of years, by a gradual process of development. So that man is not a special creature in the way that the Bible says he is. And we know from the opening chapter of God's Word that man has a dignity above and beyond the beasts of the field. Because God, Father, Son, and Spirit, resolved to make man after their own image and likeness, so that man has a soul, and the soul of man is such that there is that capacity to know God and to be in fellowship with God. And that is how man was made. And that is the end that God has purposed for his people in Jesus Christ. There is a restoration of that which was lost when Adam sinned and fell, and all his posterity in him. Through Jesus Christ, sinners are restored to God, to know him, to glorify him, to know him as their friend, and to have communion, and to be satisfied in the knowledge of God, and in all that God has promised for his people. There is an error on the other side. Those who say none are blessed after death because none exist. Others say all will be blessed after death because God loves everyone and God will bring everyone to heaven. Well, we know that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sin, and the gospel goes out into the world and calls sinners to come to Christ, that they might know forgiveness for their sin. But by no means does everyone come. Everyone who hears the gospel Many over time have not heard the gospel. And even yet they do not hear the gospel. And they're wedded to their false religions. And they go on in the darkness of the ignorance that is promoted by false religion. How we need the scriptures. Dear friend, is the Bible your study all the day? Do you think upon its contents? Do you seek to get light from God upon all that you read and hear, that you might be truly wise? That is our need. Here is the truth. God's truth. Eternal truth. It does not change. It is never going to change. And of the last day, the content of this book will sit in judgment, as it were, upon all who heard it, and even those who did not hear it. With regard to God's law, God is the one who makes the distinction between what is good and evil, right and wrong. And the gospel that you and I have heard, that will judge us too. What did we do with it? Did we receive it, the good tidings? And did we believe on the Son of God, Jesus Christ? This is the book of Revelation. And we have to remember the context of the words in our text. It is a revelation from the Lord through John to his church. And the statement we have in our text is a precious one. John is told, write these words. And what he writes is the voice of the Spirit. These are words of inspiration from the Lord to his church. And so they are written, and so they are preserved, and so we ought to give consideration to them. And it teaches us about the blessed dead. That there are those who have died and they are blessed. And blessed forever. Do we not desire then to know who they are and why they are blessed? And would we not wish to be among them? Or may the Lord instruct us, teach us, give us light and enable us to receive the truth we find in this text. The blessed dead. Firstly, to consider with God's help who they are. Right? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And there is the answer. The blessed dead are those who have died in the Lord before they left this world. They were in the Lord. And we need to understand what is meant by that. It describes a union with Christ. A saving union with Christ. That is a spiritual union, but real, vital, living, and blessed. A union with Christ is a union created by the Spirit of God, making use of the gospel and working faith in the heart of the sinner so that that sinner, believing in Christ, is indeed united to Christ and receives the benefits Christ won for his people on the cross in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is his church. He is a living head, and from the head life comes to every member in that body. And it's the life of God in the soul of man. It's a gracious life, and it is eternal life. Comes from God through Christ the mediator, the Christ who merited eternal life for his people, and it comes to them through the gift of faith which is in their hearts by God's Spirit. And that union is brought about in time in the life experience of the individual. You can go back into eternity and there was a union there made by God, the triune God, in terms of his covenant. A people given to Christ. Christ as their redeemer, as their surety, taking on all the debt they owe to God's justice. Christ representing them when he came into the world, lived the life that we could not live, and died the death that we deserve to die. Christ did all that he did in this world for his church, to redeem her, to pay for her sin, that she might be his bride, pure and holy as himself, washed in his blood, made white through that blood. All that is in Christ for his people, justification, sanctification, his people shall have it. But they only have it when they are united to him, when the Spirit calls and they answer, when they are quickened and made alive unto God in Christ. God loves his people with an everlasting love, a love from all eternity and to all eternity. And in loving kindness he draws them. So may I ask you, have you been drawn to Christ? Has this precious one who was to you once as a root out of a dry ground, nothing at all, just a man, just one who sought to do good but failed in the end, overcome by this wicked world? That's how many will view Christ, such a low view, such an unbiblical view. But when you're drawn, when the Spirit's teaching you through the Word, you get understanding, you get knowledge, you see the beauty of Christ, even of Christ crucified. You understand that what happened to Christ was all according to the divine purpose. And his life was not taken from him. He laid it down. And that in love to his people. And he did that because it was required of him in the covenant that he so die in the place of his own, shedding his blood for their sins. Do you see that? At Calvary. Well, the Lord draws his people. shows them Christ, even as he shows them their sins. And they feel the weight of their sin, the shame of it, the guilt of it, and they're looking for mercy. And Christ is where you will find mercy, nowhere else. Only in the Redeemer. God's people are blessed when they are enabled to believe in Christ Jesus. They are now in the Lord. They are blessed. And they will be blessed more when they die in the Lord and enter the great eternity. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is nothing but the wrath of God. You may enjoy in this life much of God's goodness, kindness, in his providence, and you should thank him for it. And you are on mercy's ground. But if you do not obtain mercy, then for you it can only be the wrath, the unending wrath of God, punishment for sin. The blessed dead are those who die in the Lord. Some of them, as we learn from this chapter and the book of Revelation, died for the Lord. They were faithful unto death. They loved not their own lives. They loved the Lord. And they loved his cause. And they loved his truth. And they would not part with it. And they held it firm. And they bore the consequences. They endured persecution, the hatred of the ungodly, and as you know from the book of Revelation, there is reference to the dragon, that is Satan, and the beast, that is the Antichrist. Babylon is mentioned there. There is this system in the world. Many try to say that this is secularism, this is worldliness, this is anti-religion. But when you study the scriptures, you learn that the Antichrist is a religious figure. And you learn that especially from 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's his claim, effectively. The man of sin. The papacy. And when you think of the centuries after John was given the revelation down to the present, pre-Reformation times, and even after the Reformation, so many of God's people have met their end in this world at the hands of the papacy, the cruelty of it. It stands in opposition to Christ because it claims the prerogatives which belong to Christ alone, another Christ. We should be thankful here this evening for God's grace in his people to give them strength to stand and not to succumb to the punishments, the imprisonments, the tortures meted out through the Inquisition and subsequently. But they held fast the gospel. And they died in the Lord, for the Lord. And we have a goodly heritage because God gave them strength so to stand. Persecution of the saints, it hasn't ended. We're told that there are more Christian believers dying today in the way of martyrdom than at any time in history. Now we're thinking of many Christian believers who lose their lives in Islamic countries in particular. Also, where Hinduism prevails, even Buddhism, and still some lands where Roman Catholicism is very prevalent. Much of this may be hidden from us. But they are blessed if they are the Lord's and die in the Lord. So the blessed dead are believers in Christ who die in Christ, and their souls go to be with their Lord. Secondly, to consider when they are blessed, because John was instructed, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. From henceforth. This refers to the death of believers. As you are probably aware, there are many who interpret the book of Revelation as though it is a chronology, as though it is a succession of events in historical order, from the beginning to the end. There is something in that. But we're not to divide up the book chapter by chapter and say, this belongs to that particular period of church history, that chapter to the next, and so on. You have repetition in the book. You have things that are repeated in a different form. And we understand that rather than henceforth in our text, referring to a particular point in the history of the New Testament church, this is something that appertains to each and every believer as and when they come to their last day. The henceforth is from when they go to be with the Lord. Blessed from henceforth. Blessed in this life. Knowing the love of God in Christ. Knowing His saving grace. Knowing the richness of His mercy. In their continual pardon. When they turn from their sin and look to the blood of atonement. Blessed in every way in this life, and yet for believers, this world, not always a friendly place. Indeed, much hostility for God's people. Do we know anything of that? Perhaps we know very little at the present time, but we are called to discern the signs of the times. Do we not have to say that in our own beloved land, those signs are not promising at present? There is a darkness over Scotland, over the United Kingdom, and it's one that the Lord's people wonder at and they grieve over. They wonder at it because we have been so blessed in time past. The gospel has been so much a part of life, even national life. The institutions of our land have been based on Christian belief, Christian principles. Whether it be education, or law, or parliament, whatever. And now it's all being eroded. Now the very foundation of our nation is under attack. Scotland is what it is because of the Reformation. You cannot really argue against that. It will be a very different country without the Reformation. But now those who have power want to go as quickly as they can in the opposite direction from what was set up at the time of the Reformation. Gospel light is going out. And we know that when that happens, everything changes. Society itself changes. There's a lack of respect for what we call the sanctity of life. That's evident in this permissive society. All the things that came in the last 50 or more years. Abortion and euthanasia, that's something we are being exhorted to pray against. Another attempt in the Scottish Parliament to bring in assisted suicide and all the moral corruption evident in homosexuality and transgenderism and all these things. We're only too aware of them. Why have they come in? It's not really a mystery. If you remove the Christian foundation, if you remove the Word of God, if you deny it to be the supreme authority for belief and behavior, then anything goes. Anything is justified. And you find that today. If you stand up and speak up and say this is wrong, then you are challenged. You're said to be bigoted. You're said to be one who is intolerant. And we are told to celebrate equality and diversity and these things. It really is all Satan's work and his deception. Even things which are against nature, plainly so, are done, and those who might challenge them are the ones who are targeted and decried. That is the society we have created. And there's only one thing that will change this sad development and halt it before it is too late. That is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. A mighty power in the Word of God when blessed by the Spirit, such that sinners are brought to repentance and to trust in Christ, to be found in the Lord with the transforming effect that has upon the whole person and their whole course in life and their conduct as they walk in this world. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Oh dear believer, You, I, we may be coming to the end of our days in this world. And we may be thinking to ourselves, it is a very troubled world we live in. And our own land is not what it was. I hardly recognize it any longer. And it is not a comfortable place for me anymore. And no doubt God's people have felt that way at many times and in many lands. But they are blessed from henceforth. Believers and believers alone can look ahead and do so with hope. They hope, even as they pray, that the Lord will change things for the better. And let us pray that He will. But they have this sure and certain hope that for them, when they leave this world, when they die in the Lord, they will indeed be blessed. And blessed in a way above and beyond what they enjoy now. These words which John was called to write, are they not comforting for persecuted saints, afflicted believers, grieving and sad Christians who bemoan the state of the world and of their own land? When a soul departs the body, it goes to God who gave it. We learn that in Ecclesiastes. And that soul is fully conscious. It does not go into some sort of sleep. That error has been abroad in the church in various times in her history, but it's always been regarded rightly as unbiblical. You will find it taught by some of the cults. No, the soul does not go to sleep. When you read the account that Jesus gave of the rich man and Lazarus, both dying, their soul went into eternity. Lazarus was comforted. He'd had much difficulty here. He'd been reduced to begging, full of sores at the rich man's gate, just struggling to survive. But he went into Abraham's bosom. There he was comforted. The rich man, he had everything here, but he did not die in the Lord. He went into a lost eternity. He was tormented in the flames of hell. Conscious, an experience, a continued existence. Remember that. From henceforth, time giving way to eternity, and to think upon eternity. Who can comprehend it? But it's coming for each and every one of us. One thing we often hear today, and it's perhaps even creeping into Protestant churches, is the idea that we can pray for those who have died. As you may be aware, there is that term RIP, rest in peace. And you often see that when someone has died, maybe a tribute, and then those letters, meaning rest in peace, are attached at the bottom. And in effect, that is a prayer. It's seeking something on behalf of the one who has died. And of course, in Roman Catholicism, prayer for the dead is encouraged. And it may be seeking from one of the so-called saints help for the departed and seeking that they will be delivered from purgatory and brought finally to heaven. There's nothing in the Bible to support this. Man goes to his long home. And once he's gone, that is it. In terms of those who remain, there's nothing we can do for those who have departed. We do not pray for those who died in the Lord because they do not need our prayers. They are with the Lord. And we are not to pray for those who did not die in the Lord, because they cannot benefit from our prayers. We enter into a fixed state when we die, and there's no change, no possibility of any change. Our final point is this: how they are blessed. These blessed dead, how they are blessed. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The blessed dead, those who die in the Lord, go to be with the Lord, and in heaven they have rest, perfect rest, even from all their labors. The word labor here means toil and trouble. Literally, it means a beating of the breast. It is that aspect of life which causes us trial and difficulty and upset, labors. And the word rest, it has an eternal significance to it. Beyond time. Eternal blessedness in Christ Jesus. When the believer dies in the Lord, there is a final deliverance from the consequences of sin. The guilt of sin was removed the moment that sinner believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, justified freely by divine grace. There was the ongoing work of sanctification. The power of sin had been broken at the moment of conversion, and the ongoing work of the Spirit subdued the iniquities and gave the believer that strength and ability to die to sin and to live to righteousness. But the holiness of any child of God is not perfect in this life. It never is. There is always indwelling sin. We still carry about that old man, the body of this death, and that can make us feel wretched at times, even as the Apostle Paul. When the believer dies, and only then is there a full deliverance. And there is a deliverance from what death represents. Death, the wages of sin, and the king of terrors, spirits. And many tremble at the thought of it. The believer need not. Why is that? Because the sting and curse of death has been drawn by Christ in his atoning work. Death has no power over the believer to do him or her any harm or hurt at all. The sorrow, of course, is for those who remain, but not for the child of God. Freed perfectly from sin and misery altogether, the soul of the believer goes into the immediate presence of the Lord to enjoy sinless fellowship with Jesus Christ in glory, to behold his face, the face of our beloved. And that face represents his favor, his love to his people. And in glory, the believer will always be looking upon the face of Christ, and Christ will be looking upon the face of the believer. The soul is now perfectly blessed and enjoys the Lord fully. But there is something to come. The soul has received from Christ all the benefits of his redemption. But there is the body too. And we're not complete without the body. The selfsame body in which we lived and died will, at the resurrection, at the last day, be our body again. We lay it down when we leave this world. We will take it up again. The resurrection is a work of God's power. It is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. One resurrection, believer and unbeliever. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and Christ will set them on his right hand. And the souls now in glory are waiting for that day. And believers who remain in this world, they're groaning, longing for that day also. Do we know what it is to have infirmities, sicknesses, various troubles which afflict the body? We know that we are fading flesh, and perhaps fading more and more quickly. The seeds of death, they're in us because of the fall, because of Adam's sin. And we long, do we not only for that sinless fellowship with Christ, for our soul when we die, but for the reunion of a sinless soul and a perfect body, a spiritual body. There is a resemblance between what we have now and what we shall have then in terms of the body. But the resurrection body is powerful, vigorous, incorruptible. It's suited to spiritual activity. It's suited to the heavenly state. Here, if we are Christians, we have a sense of God's love. We have peace of conscience. We have a spiritual joy. These things and more we shall have to the full in the heavenly state. Not because of our deserving in any way. Notice the text. Their works do follow them. They do not go before. They come after. They have no part in our justification, sanctification, glorification. Rather, they are witnesses to our grace, to God's free and sovereign grace, which He bestowed upon us, and the fruit of that grace. You see that in Hebrews 11, the first individual, godly man mentioned there is Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's memorial. A righteous man living a righteous life. Not perfect, but in the Lord. Are we in the Lord? We need to be. And you should seek grace, that you may be found in Christ Jesus, by faith in Him. Then and only then will it be true of you also, that when you come to your dying day, you will be blessed. Blessed from henceforth. May the Lord bless His word to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask Thee to lead us into the truth that we have considered as we continue to think upon these things. Solemn things, but essential for us to know, and especially in the light of what we read and what we hear, to come to Christ and obtain forgiveness for our sin, that when we come to our last day, it shall be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Bless us and forgive us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.